I'd like to go ahead and call the Community and Regional Affairs meeting to order. It's February 8th. The time is 12 minutes after 2 p.m. We're a little late today because of the extended time we spent on the Senate floor. On the agenda today is we're going to have one bill. It will not be moved, and today we're just going to take public comment on this item. It is Senate Bill 193, Deferral of Municipal Property Taxes. We'll also have a meeting 1 week from today, and we'll be hearing one bill and two bills. Senate Bill, yeah, here we go, 265, dealing with Municipal Bond Bank, and Senate Bill 248, dealing with the administrative boroughs. So that's coming attractions, and we'll probably plan on bringing Senate Bill 193 back up. With that, I would like the bill sponsor, Senator Bundy, to come forward and give us an overview of the bill. And before that, I'd like the record to show that Senator Kukesh is here, Senator Gary Stevens is here, and myself, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to invite Lauren Rice from my staff to join me, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Con Bundy, Senator, District P. And my thanks to you for scheduling the bill. Mr. Chairman, this genesis of this bill began, I guess, in a conversation I heard of some folks, maybe oversimplifying the issue somewhat, but saying if you live in a municipality where there is a property tax, you never really truly own your home, in that if you should fail to pay your property tax, you, even if you purchased the home and have paid the mortgage, you could be evicted for non-payment of taxes. And so the state always has that potential, the state, the local government, always has the potential of taking your home. And Mr. Chairman, I have known through some personal experience, you know, life can have some interesting changes and catastrophic events can occur in a person's life. And I'm thinking that someone perhaps who is an older person and something beyond their control occurs and they end up below the poverty level. You know, catastrophic illness can cause that. Other things can cause that to happen. And one of the last things that they should have to worry about with all the other stress in their life at that time should be whether they're going to be evicted from their home. And so that led to SB 193. This legislation allows municipalities, and I want to stress allows, it's a local option, to defer property taxes on property owned by individuals in their community if that individual's income is at or below the federal poverty guidelines for Alaska. In 2005, that amounted to the income level of $11,950 for one person, $16,030 for a family of two, and $20,110 for a family of three. Mr. Chairman, I did have, after some discussion, these bills are always a work in progress, some amendments that I was going to suggest, but being we will have an opportunity to hear this bill again next week, if it would work for you, I'll just come back with a CS rather than having to deal with amendments, if that is your pleasure.
I think, Senator Bundy, that would work well. Maybe just for discussion today, because there's people that are listening, it may be nice for you just to kind of overview your amendments. It might help some of the participants be more on point with their testimony, and then you can bring forward a CS for...
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that would be my intent, and I thank you for that. The first intended amendment would be page 1, line 9, initially, after we had suggested that someone to qualify for this should have lived in their home for 10 years, wanted to put a big sideboards on the bill so that there wouldn't be opportunity for fraud or cleverness. And some folks had mentioned in discussion that many times, again, if you're a senior citizen, you may have downsized, and you may have lived in your home for 30 years, but now have moved to a smaller home of some kind. So I'm going to suggest we change that 10 to 2 years. And on page 1, line 11, we will add the phrase, whose household income is at or below the federal poverty guidelines. This there was some concern about partial ownership. If there's a partnership or folks own a home jointly, that might not necessarily be related. And I think if the household income will take care of that issue as to whether, again, I was concerned about someone being too clever, where you might be a very wealthy person who signs half their house over to a relative who's retired or who's very young and doesn't have any income and would qualify then for the exemption and possibly exempt $1 million home from half the property tax. That certainly wouldn't be my intent. So if we're focused on household income, then I think that addresses the question of partial ownership, because the total income of the household would have to fall within the federal poverty guidelines. There's some renumbering that will occur. And also, on page 2, we would add a new section where this tax deferral has to be recorded as a lien, and the municipality that granted this ability to its citizens could ask to be reimbursed for the cost of recording the lien. But in essence, what the bill would do then is someone who has a home, has established ownership, and by ownership I mean they've begun a mortgage, that doesn't mean they don't have to have paid off their mortgage and have title. They just have the traditional ownership and falls below the federal poverty guidelines, could then defer their property tax until such time as their income rises above the federal poverty guidelines, they sell the property, or they're deceased. And I view it as a win-win. The citizen gets to keep their home. The municipality will get to collect their taxes if deferred by a few years, perhaps, but they will still get to collect their taxes. And, of course, as I pointed out, this is a local option that folks can adopt this. I was encouraged in looking at other states where they do call this the Homestead Act, where someone can truly have a homestead. And I appreciate your committee's time taking a look at this, and turn to Lauren, see if there's anything I left out. Be available for questions, and I know you have some folks that would like to testify.
All right. With that, I'd like to open it for a few questions from the committee. Yes, Senator Stevens.
And just, thank you, Mr. Chairman, just glancing through this, Senator Bundy, is there an age limit on this? Are we talking truly about seniors or not? You mentioned seniors a couple times, but I don't see that. I mean, it could be any age. Is that true?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, yes. I am just using maybe a personal example. Certainly not apply to you, but might to me. There's no age limit.
You got my vote.
a young person can have financial reversals that might put them into this position as much as a senior would.
If I could follow up.
Yes, go ahead.
On the length of residency, that you did change from 10 years to 2 years.
Yes.
And that's not is that a conflict with, we tried to do the length of residency in terms of, from the fund dividend, that sort of thing. Would that get in any conflict there, do you think?
Through the chair, not that I'm aware of at all. This simply establishes that someone is truly their home. And again, maybe I'm living up to my reputation of being the cynic of the Senate, but wanting to make sure that it wasn't used by those other than who we'd really like it to be used by.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Senator Bundy. So, would you have a comment?
Yeah. For the record, my name is Lauren Rice, and I'm staff to Senator Bundy. I don't know if I understood your question exactly, but under this bill, Alaska residency isn't necessarily required. It's the occupancy. So technically, you could not be an Alaskan resident and take advantage of it.
Right.
Yeah. It does need to be your primary home, though.
Senator Bundy, is this, if the municipalities adopt this, is it blanket for everybody? They'd set like anybody over age 65 or anybody age 60 or no age limit, or is it individual by individual, one at a time in front of the assembly or the council?
Certainly, as I envision, they'd have to apply individually. The municipality would not be burdened with seeking these people out and telling them you are exempt. They would have to apply to the municipality. And there's no age limit.
Okay. So the only limit would be income?
That's correct.
And primary residence?
That's correct.
And in a area that pays property tax?
And that's correct.
Okay. Okay. With that, thank you. We're going to go ahead and we have three people online from Anchorage. We're going to go ahead and do those. And then we'll hear from the state assessor. And then we'll come into the room here and take testimony from internally. We'll, at the conclusion of that, we'll invite Senator Bundy back for any other comments, and then we'll wrap the meeting up. With that, I'd like to go ahead and call on Mary McGee. She's from Anchorage.
This is Marty McGee from Anchorage.
Marty.
I'm the city assessor for Anchorage.
Okay.
I had a couple of comments. I think the recommended changes are address many of my concerns. One of the issues I had is whether this should be a deferral or an exemption from tax. The properties that I've inspected that are in a situation where people can't afford to pay their taxes are nearly always in poor repair and deteriorating in condition. So what I envision what we'll wind up with is having to take property back eventually, which may not be sufficient to repay the tax and present problems for us administratively as we go forward. I'm looking at Washington State's law with regard to the deferral of property tax as kind of a model. I find a lot of details in there that might be helpful, although I understand from talking to assessors in Washington State that it's actually rarely used in that jurisdiction either, that they have the option of moving most of the people that qualify to an exemption program, and that's their preference. I think in Alaska we could use some tools to address the situation of people that can't afford to pay their taxes, especially disabled persons, which our current laws don't provide us any usable tools to address that problem, but I'm not sure that this is the mechanism we'd want to use, and I think the state assessor will have some comments about that. The other on from Senator Bundy's comments were about what triggers the repayment of the accumulated tax. I didn't find the language in the bill that stated that when they rose above the poverty level, they would repay the tax, which would be what I would look for. Possibly we could include it in the local ordinance, but it's not specific in the state law as drafted. I'll take questions. I think I'm done with my testimony at that.
Okay. So do you support the bill or the concept of the bill? I'm kind of confused on your position.
I think I don't, not as it's drafted right now.
Okay. And then to your earlier comment about low-income people with houses of in disrepair and potential liquidation of that to that with a market value below what the accumulated taxes would be. I assume that if you're running a 20 mil or a 25 mil property tax rate, that it's on the market value, and I would hope that they would, the market value would be tied in and figured in with the condition of the properties. Or do you do things different where you're at?
Our mill rate is well below 20 mils, and it, on an annual basis, the amount of tax certainly would not be, it's the accumulated, not paid tax that becomes a problem. If it doesn't accumulate for very many years, then there isn't a large bill to be repaid, and it's not an issue. But this is entirely open-ended as it's drafted, so this could go on for 10 or 15 years, accumulating unpaid tax against a property which is deteriorating in condition.
Mr. McGee, if you know, maybe you can just guesstimate for me, but if there is a 2-year ownership occupancy and being below the poverty level, how many residents or what kind of potential impact may you have in your area?
I would say that I deal with a question from people of, say, 5, no more than 10 a year who potentially would qualify for this. I don't know anything about people's income right now. None of my information causes me to collect that information. So I don't know how many people specifically would fit inside this, even with the changes that Senator Bundy's recommended, which would definitely expand. That's one of my original comments was, as originally drafted, with the 10-year occupancy, I didn't think hardly anyone would actually qualify for the program to begin with.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. McGee. And again, we'll be bringing this bill back up a week from today. So if you want to stay tuned to this process, please call us back.
Thank you.
And from that, we'll go still in Anchorage to Ryan Stencil.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Stencil. I reside at 12,000 Wagner Street in Anchorage. I've been a board member of the Huffman O'Malley Community Council for about 6 years, and I belong to Home and Landowners Association. I'd like to start by thanking Senator Bundy for bringing this forward and for giving the attention to the situation that it needs. We have a lot of residents on the Anchorage Hillside in particular who were homesteaders and bought their properties at $15 an acre. Over the years, their property values have increased and their property taxes have increased to the point that many of them are no longer able to live in their homes and they're having to sell off. And it's very hard to watch someone who has spent 30 or 40 years on a piece of property who wants nothing more than to die in their own house have to sell off their properties and find a more economical way to live. I don't know that a tax deferment will be the best way to approach this. I think I would lean more towards a greater exemption. I think that we will find ourselves in a situation with a lot of the elderly that I have anyway. They will be stacking up their property taxes for, you know, 10 or 15 years. It will exceed and the value of the home, and heaven forbid that there be a market crash or something in the interim that affects the value of that home, too.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Stencil. Does that conclude your comments?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. With that, we'll go to Katie Noland in Anchorage.
Yes, my name is Katie Noland, N-O-L-A-N. Box 222-462, Anchorage, 99522, speaking for myself. First of all, I would like to thank Senator Bundy for bringing this out. I love the idea that we are paying attention to some of these problems faced among members of our community. And the amendments offered do fix two of my major concerns with it. But the basic problem with it is that it allows the municipalities to choose to adopt this program. And by giving a muni a choice of whether or not to collect taxes, I seriously doubt some administrations are going to do that. I would encourage you, along with this ordinance, to look at upping our current $150,000 exemption. That was set in, what, 20, 25 years ago. It was put in at the time to match the cost of the median home, and the median home is no longer there. And what I would suggest is making that tax exemption at a percentage of the market value of the house, whatever sliding percentage that could be. You can adjust on an annual basis. It would be very simple to figure out. And this would serve to better protect the senior citizens, especially among us, not giving them muni an option whether or not to utilize it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nolan. With that, and I'm sure the sponsors, I see him back there diligently taking notes on his testimony, so he may include or may not include some of these comments in his redraft. But with that, we're going to go on to Homer. We have one person in Homer, Matt Sadley. Is that correct pronunciation of your name, Matt?
Yeah, Matt Shadle.
Shadle, okay. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity to testify and speak here. My name is Matt Shadle. I'm a resident of Homer. I'm also on the city council in Homer. We have, it's not in place at this time, but we have a resolution that coincides with this Senate Bill 193. I've brought this resolution forward, and later this month we will be voting on the resolution. I'm in support of this Senate Bill 193, and for various reasons, but most importantly, I think what this bill does is this protects historic property owners, true Alaskans that live here, that are having a hard time making their property tax payment. And I just want to point out a couple things. Listening to the other testimony for the Anchorage testifier, he said that he disagrees with the bill, and I think maybe you really don't have a whole lot of weight to throw at the bill if you don't even have a tax on sales in your community. And so I guess if what I'm saying is if there was a sales tax included in the Anchorage area, then maybe this bill wouldn't hurt them as much. But for those of us in other surrounding municipalities, this is nothing more than a way for municipalities to ignore or adopt into place into their community something that would help the people that are struggling. So I think it's a wonderful bill. I want to thank Senator Bundy for bringing this bill forward. And that concludes my comments. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you. We have a question from Senator Stevens.
Well, hi, Matt. Good to hear your testimony. The issue was brought up by a prior speaker about whether it should be voluntary or mandatory for communities to do this. I'd assume you'd prefer to have it mandatory so the city of Homer can decide whether they can afford it and choose to do it or not.
Yes, Senator Stevens, I believe that I actually believe that voluntary would be appropriate for municipalities, because if the elected officials in that particular municipality disagrees with it, they could always be another election with a new elected officials that could quite possibly adopt this language into their area. So I would have to say voluntarily.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, that concludes the two communities. We will hear from the state assessor, Steve Van Sant, if he's got any comments he'd like to make.
I tried to unmute him, and there was a problem with the computer, so I'm relogging
on. Okay. What we'll do is we'll hold him. and we will open it up to public testimony from the floor, and we'll invite the ladies in the room to come forward before the men.
Is there any other?
You're it.
You're calling
me
lady? I love it.
Please identify yourself and who you represent.
My name is Kathy Wasserman. I'm with the Alaska Municipal League. One of the main reasons I want to testify is to show Senator Bundy that we actually do have some positive things to say about some of his bills. And I love being the one to do this. I know. Senate Bill 193, when it came to my desk, I noticed it had big flashing letters on the municipality may by ordinance. And we really want to thank Senator Bundy for inserting that very powerful may. I think most communities that are members of our league and certainly would be very happy to give this sort of a tax deferral to the members of their communities. With all respect, Mr. Chairman, to Senator Bundy, I want to remind him that senior citizens are already exempted for the first $150,000 of the value of their home. By law, that's a mandated exemption. So I think as far as that goes, that clears a lot of this up. I also, though, would be lax to leave the table without saying that I think more communities would take part in this deferral if revenue sharing were a possibility in the hopefully very near future. And that concludes my testimony.
Ms. Wasserman, maybe you can elaborate a little bit on if you feel the municipalities would see this as some kind of an unfunded mandate, like some of them have complained about the $150,000 senior citizens exemption.
Mr. Chairman, right now, as this bill is read, it is not a mandate. That may gives municipalities the privilege to choose whether they wish to do that. And if that's what this bill attempts to do, we certainly are not going to stand up and complain about that. If it were a mandate and we were required to make that exemption, and as we are with the senior citizens and veterans property tax exemption, and then had no way to recover those funds that cover basic services that someone has to pay for, then we probably would be very much opposed to this bill.
Okay. So we won't, from your testimony then, we shouldn't expect, if this legislation passes, we shouldn't expect the Alaska Municipal League or the mayors to come forward from the communities and put this on the list of unfunded mandates, which...
No, because it is not mandatory, right, which makes it a mandate. So if I read this correctly, Senator Bundy, this is not a mandatory bill. So
right.
The only other thing I wanted to, I think, should be clarified in the bill, perhaps, is if a low-income family... I believe it was death, the transfer of the home, or if they suddenly found themselves above the level, do they pay all of the taxes, or do they just have to stay current from then on? I think that's a big difference, and I don't see that in the bill, and it wasn't clear to me.
That was brought up, and we'll flush that out over the next week
there's
or so.
There's a big difference there.
Yeah, the sponsor, I'm sure, will be able to enlighten us on how he sees that.
Yes. Okay. Okay. We just didn't want to not show that we're not totally opposed to everything that comes
Senator out. Stevens.
Well, thank you, Kathy. You should be careful about encouraging Senator Bundy. You don't know what he's going to do next.
Oh, I know that. I'm already trying to figure that one out.
but the issue was brought up about the fact that communities already have the obligation of deferring $150,000 in value, and the issue was brought about raising that. But frankly, communities have the option of raising it, don't they? And many do have standards above.
Some of them do, sir. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, some of them do, I think, provide more. But as communities find themselves more and more strapped, that is one of the things that they're all looking at, is, you know, how far can they continue to do that without making the choice on their own who deserves, you know, based on income, age, whatever, who deserves that, you know, can you pick and choose who should have that exemption?
But they can always go back to the minimum requirement of the state. I mean, if they're
The 150.
If they made it to $200,000, they could go back to the 150. And yeah.
Right. But the 150,000 is...
Oh, I understand.
...can be tough if you have a community where you have more and more older people like us.
Certainly. I understand. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Do we have any other testimony? We'll take testimony from anybody that wants to come forward and speak. Or forever hold your peace for a week. We'll bring the bill sponsor up. And if you wrap up there, Senator Bundy.
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, excuse me. Is he online?
He's on now.
If you could just hold, Senator Bundy. We'll bring in Steve Van Sant, the state assessor. Steve, if...
Mr. Chairman, am I getting through now?
You are.
Okay, great. For the record, my name is Steve Van Sant. I'm the state assessor with the Department of Commerce. I would actually just like to address a couple of issues that were brought up for the committee's information. Number one, I think Marty McGee brought up the fact that, and we had talked about with some of the assessors about the eligibility issue. And in reality, on page 1, line 13 and 14, it states there that an individual needs to apply each year for the deferral, and that they have to show proof of eligibility for deferral for that year. So that portion of the concern that a couple of people brought up is covered under the current writing of the bill, so we don't have to worry about that one. The second issue I'd like to bring up is individuals appear to be confusing this deferral with the senior citizen exemption, and they're two entirely different things. Number one, the senior citizen exemption presently exempts the first $150,000 of assessed value. I believe Ms. Washington stated that there are some municipalities that exempt over the 150. Right now, the Kenai Peninsula Borough exempts everything over 150, and they're the only municipality in the state that does that. So municipalities have the authority to exempt over 150,000 if they want. That is an optional exemption. It's not mandatory. So that is out there. This deferment is open to anybody who's considered low income, whatever the threshold is, and that is set by the federal poverty guidelines. So it is open to almost anybody. So I just wanted to bring that up, the eligibility, the 150, and I guess that's it. I have had conversations with Senator Bundy's office on several issues, and I think they're working on it. Oh, I also wanted to point out the senior citizen exemption currently contains a hardship exemption. If a senior citizen who's eligible for the $150,000 exemption is in a case of hardship, and that's defined by regulations, they can apply to the municipality to get exempted for over the 150 there also. So there are alternatives available for those individuals. So I just wanted to point those out for the committee's information there. One other thing, just for informational point of view, in this case, if a municipality were to defer an individual's taxes on a and pick a number, I don't know what the average assessed value of a low income person in Anchorage is, but if you pick a number of $3,000 a year for taxes, which is rather high for 20 years, we're still talking about $60,000 would be owed at the end of 20 years. And in most cases, that certainly will not eat up the total assessed value of that property at the end of 20 years. So while there may be some concern there, in reality, 20 years is a long time to be at poverty level. So I don't know that the taxes would come up and equal the total value of the property. So with that, sir, I will shut up and answer any questions the committee may have.
Mr. Van Zandt, I guess the difference in between this bill and the current statutes is this bill reaches down below age 65 for the $150,000 exemption, because what you're telling us is that if you qualify for the 150, you can also apply for further hardship if you have hardship for further deferral or elimination of the taxes. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The senior citizens are covered for hardship should that need arise. And let me just jump out and say, as a former assessor in Anchorage and Mat-Su, and I worked at the assessor's office in Fairbanks, I can tell you this, that there have been many times over the years that I've been involved in this business in Alaska, and that's I've been here almost 40 years. So I've seen many people come into my office who could not afford to pay their property taxes. The municipalities did not have a tool to help them out at that time. So I truly appreciate what Senator Bundy's done here in the fact that you are giving a tool to individuals not already covered. The senior citizens are covered, and you know, one could argue that maybe not well enough, but they certainly have the tools there to address their issues. But this one addresses issues for those individuals who come in, and the municipality cannot help them under any circumstance. With a tool like this, at least they can begin to address that issue for them.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions for the Senator Stevens?
Just trying to understand this, Steve. A senior citizen could not only receive the exemption from the municipality, and they could apply for the hardship exemption, but the municipality doesn't have to give them that. If that didn't happen, they could also apply for the deferment if this were to pass. So surely you'd probably rather have an exemption than an deferment, I'd assume. But it could, so does this get too complex? You'd have homeowners having both the municipality exemption and this new state deferment as well.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that's correct. And could it be an administrative hardship? Sure, it could. But with the computer usage today, you know, I don't see that as a big issue. The exemption is a it's exempt, and there's no payback provision for it. The deferral is where the municipalities would have to keep a running set of ledgers on that to make sure that the deferral amount is kept up each year.
Okay, thank you.
And just to follow up on, I mean, it's not entirely impossible. I would assume people could be at below the poverty level and then suddenly find themselves above it, say with an inheritance or something. So. At that time, is your understanding that they would have to pay everything back that had been exempted over how many years? Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Bundy has an explanation of that. So thank you, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Van Sant, for your testimony. And, again, we'll be dealing with this next week, so stay tuned and I'm sure you'll be getting a copy of the sponsor's redraft, and then we'll have further discussion with you next week. Okay. And with that, I'd like to go to the bill sponsor for a wrap-up.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a couple of things I wanted to point out, and I may have not been very clear the first time around. You apply for the exemption each year. If your income goes up, you don't qualify for the exemption. But as you point out, that if I'm making $10 an hour this year and $15 next year, and I'm suddenly hit with a $10,000 back taxes, that it wouldn't be fair. So you lose your exemption, and so you have to start paying your regular taxes. But whatever's been deferred does not come due and payable until you either sell the property or you pass away. I'm glad that the unfunded mandate got addressed because I have heard suggestions people want. I think the average home in Anchorage now is well over $200,000 in appraised value, probably close to three. And so they want to increase the senior property tax exemption. Well, to double an exemption that we don't pay for might be some kind of a PR program, but it surely would not do anyone any good, because we double require the municipality to double their exemption. They have to make that money up somewhere else, and so they end up robbing Peter to pay Paul. So I very clearly want to make this an optional, and we hear frequently the best government is one at the local level, and I'm trusting the local assemblies to be responsive to the public, and if the public in a municipality feel that this is a worthwhile effort, if I had the power to do, I would grant them that option for the current senior exemption to make it a local option as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can pass the red face test on making the senior exemption requirement and not funding it, but that's another issue. So very very clearly, the numbers that would be involved here, I think, are relatively small. I go back to what I said. I believe it's a win-win that someone wouldn't be temporarily forced out of their home or wouldn't be forced out of their home because of a temporary setback in their finances. I think there'd be very few people that would live in this condition. They wouldn't qualify for a mortgage, et cetera, for long periods of time. And the municipality will get their money eventually, and people of all ages. And might also add that a senior who has the first 150 exempt and is living on a 10 or 20 acres that they bought for little, on today's rates, money, might have asset worth $500,000 and substantial tax burden and live below the poverty line.
Okay. Well, thank you, Senator Bundy.
With that, I thank you very much and look forward to next week and you addressing the CS.
Okay. Is there another public comment? I saw a hand wave. Well, I think what you can do if you want to testify, you'll have to come forward and identify yourself or speak to him after the hearing.
Is that out of line, sir?
In this format, it is. Okay. With that, I'd like to conclude today's meeting. Again, I'd like to remind everybody Senate Bill 193 will be back on the docket next week. Also, Senate Bill 265 dealing with the Municipal Bond Bank and Senate Bill 248 dealing with the administrative boroughs. We're going to have public hearings on those two bills. With that, the meeting is adjourned.